Hi, this is Linda Rex with One Our Life in the Trinity, and I am bringing a sermon for July 17th, Proper 11, and I want to read the text first from Luke 10, 38 to 42 in the New American Standard Bible, and then we'll have a short prayer, and we'll talk about what our subject for today is. Take communion together and close with a benediction so you know what we're doing. So, our text is Luke 10, 38 to 42, and it goes like this. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us and for your care for us. Thank you for sending your Son to be a part of our human existence, to live our life and die our death and rise again, and for sending your Spirit so we can share in your life now and forever. We ask today by your Spirit that you will write your word on our mind and heart more deeply and give us understanding and show us what you would have us do with what you have taught us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today, my topic is Christ, the image of God. And it's interesting that Christ needs to be the center of any discussion about God, who he is, and what he means for us as human beings. Now, I was talking with my son the other day, and he was telling me about the most recent shooting of several people. I think it was 16. And people just going around their daily lives, and the next thing you know, this incredible, horrific tragedy occurs in their life. And how can it be that there is this much evil in a world when Christ has come and he has done what is necessary to eradicate evil from this world? Well, what is God's heart about evil? What is God's heart about these shootings and the different things that are happening? How does he feel about that? Well, if you read the other readings for today, there are several, but this Sunday, Amos 8, 1 to 12, Psalm 15, and Psalm 52 are each directed toward God's heart about evil and the things we do to ourselves and each other, and how we hurt ourselves and each other when we don't live out the truth of who we are as God's children. Created in the image of God, all humanity was designed by God to live in other-centered, loving relationship with God and each other. We're meant to respect one another, accept one another, allow each other to be truly, uniquely ourselves, and yet make room for one another. The problem is we tend to go in the direction of self. There is like this vortex of self we get sucked into. Self-centeredness, self-will, self-destruction, self-reliance, you name it, and we're the center of it. And a lot of times we don't even realize it. Sometimes And this I've had to learn the hard way, is sometimes even our efforts to love others are self-directed. Have you ever thought about that? Why do you do the nice things for someone in your family? Is it so they'll love you back? Or is it simply in an other-centered way for their good? And, you know, it's kind of hard to go there, but see, that's the truth. We got to live in the truth and walk in truth. And oh my, it's not pleasant sometimes to see how much we are centered around ourselves instead of be centered in Christ or centered in God. So the problem with our obsession with self and self-pleasure and self-directed behavior is it may seem like we have this incredible freedom, but it is something that actually draws us slowly but steadily into slavery. So often we don't realize until, we're halfway there, we don't realize giving ourselves over and over to the desires of our flesh, we end up in slavery in some way. And then we're stuck there and we don't know how to get out. But God gives us, God gives us true freedom in Christ. What Christ does is he comes into, takes our flesh on and burns away our chains, being bound by ourself, and gives us his other-centered love and his other-centered way of being. This is the reason why God sent Christ, why he came as the Son of God, Word of God, in taking on our human flesh. You know, when we live in the truth of who we are as God's children, created to love God and love one another in this other-centered way, making room for one another, when we're true to that and we're actually living that out, we shine with the majesty of God's nature. We glow with God's goodness and God's love and God's kindness. When we live other-centered ways, making room for each other's unique expressions of how we were created and made to be, we just create such brightness and life and a beauty. In this world where there is so much evil still, that is so darkened by satanic self-absorption, self-will, those who choose the other-centered way of living, who seek to follow Christ, they shine brightly. The problem is we can't shine on our own. Over time, the depths of evil begin to overwhelm us. And the only way we can shine continuously with the bright light of God's love and grace is by Christ living in us. He is the light. He is the light, and he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. It is his light reflected into us and shining from us that brightens this world. How do we do this? Well, we open up to the life God has forged for us, Christ has forged for us in our human flesh, opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. See, God in Christ comes to live our life, die our death, rise again. He sends his Spirit so that individually in each of our hearts and minds, the Spirit goes to work as we open up to the Spirit, as we receive Christ's life in us, trusting in Christ for the ability to be who we are, right? Christ is our life. As we open up to Christ, then we begin to shine with God's light, with his love, with his nature, with his way of being. See, Jesus is the exact replica or image of God. That's what we read in Hebrews 1 and Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 and those areas. Jesus, when you look at him, you see the Father. And if you have some concept of God that doesn't look like Jesus, then maybe you need to reconsider as to whether it's a true image of God. And we each were designed to reflect the image of God, and we do that as we reflect Jesus. Jesus is the true reflection of the Father, and we are in Him. He is in us by the Spirit, and He has made us one with God in his life, death, resurrection, ascension. See, when we read in Scripture, and we have a passage for today, I believe it is in Colossians, if I recall correctly, that Colossians 1, 15 to 28, we read there that Jesus has done and will do what is needed for our salvation. That it was the Father's good pleasure, isn't that wonderful? His good pleasure that His fullness be present in human flesh in Jesus Christ, reconciling every one of us to the Father in the Spirit. God has reconciled everything in Christ, in His sacrificial self-offering. He's reconciled everything, it says, in heaven and on earth. That's a pretty broad area. That, I mean, means everything, right? Ooh, that's hard to get our mind around. Does that mean, you know, evil itself is reconciled? Well, in the sense that God has made it to where there is no place for evil except what He allows. And so there is going to come a time where there will be no more place for evil. That's what we read in Revelation. So, question, how do we shine when our flesh tends to fill the world with evil and darkness? Well, the reality is in Christ. Okay, Christ comes. He lives our life and forges in our humanity the ability, the capacity to live in right relationship with God and one another. He dies our death, what we deserve to die. He rises from the grave, giving every human being new life. Comes into the presence of the Father, and He sends the Spirit. So then, in the Spirit, we see that the kingdom of God is already at work in this world. It has been at work in that God is always present and always, everything is sustained by His power. He is Lord of all. I mean, that's just a reality of it. But this human world that we've lived in, that we gave over to Satan, God has declared in Christ that no, that's done. We belong to God. It is His kingdom, and He's working it out now by the Spirit. And He's forging a new way of being in humanity. Jesus did what is needed, but now each of us, by the Spirit, can participate by faith in that new kingdom. So some of us don't realize, you know, that the kingdom of God is present, real, and active. And so we live as though it's not. And so that's why we experience evil, and all the depravity in this world is because we don't realize the truth of what God has done for us in Christ. And we don't realize that God is the King of the kingdom, that Christ is Lord of all, that He has done what is needed for us to live forever in joy and peace and harmony. The kingdom of darkness wants to hold on to us, but it says that Jesus translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. As we believe, as we participate in that truth, we will begin to experience more and more light in our life and less of the darkness. But there's going to come a time when Jesus returns in glory and the fullness of the kingdom comes, and may God hasten that day. Right. So we live in the already, not yet. It's kingdom of God has come in Christ. He's established it. He's inaugurated it in His person, taking on human flesh and redeeming us and reconciling all things in heaven and earth with God. But we don't see the fullness of it yet. We will one day soon. God gives us glimpses of glory occasionally. Occasionally we get a sense of something so incredibly beautiful and wonderful. And just savor those moments. Don't expect them to happen all the time right now. They're just given as a foretaste of the kingdom of the glory to come. We live like we're ambassadors of a new kingdom. You know, an ambassador is a representative of a kingdom who lives in a different one, different kingdom. And he's around all these strange customs, and they do things differently there, you know, but he or she stays loyal to their home country, right? So we're part of God's kingdom in the midst, his kingdom of light in the midst of a dark world, and we need to stay focused. You know, we see Mary in this story that we read, the gospel story. We see her sitting at the feet of Jesus and focused on him and what he's teaching her, what he's asking her to do. And she is directly trying to interact with Christ. And we see Martha just bustling about trying to put something together that Jesus wasn't really that interested in. I mean, he was okay with her fixing a meal, but it didn't need to be a 10-course meal. He would have been content with a simple meal if she would come and sit, if it make it possible for her to come and sit like Mary at his feet and listen and learn. So we need to stay focused, keep our priorities right, focus on Christ. The scripture says, we see in Colossians 3:3, that we're held with Christ in God, and in Christ, we're in face-to-face relationship with the Father and the Spirit. So we want to stay focused on Christ, because by seeing Christ, by focusing on him, we are that way focused on the Father. And we're held right in the middle of that relationship of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And as it says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says that no person, no force, no created thing, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. There is nothing. So that we want to focus on that place where that's our home, that's where we belong, that's the kingdom we're a part of. And as we're focused on Christ, and Christ is focused on the Father in the Spirit, we are filled with God's presence and power. We shine with his glory. You know, the Father is the fullness of Christ. Christ bore the fullness of God in his human flesh, right? So Christ is our fullness. We bear his life, his fullness in our flesh by the Spirit. So everything, all things were created by Christ, for Christ, through Christ. He's always existed. He holds all things together. This is what we read in Colossians 1. He's the beginning and the end, the Lord of all. There's all these reasons for us to keep our focus on him and not on the evil and not on the things we want, not on ourself. Remember, we don't want to get caught into the self vortex, you know, sucked down into the self. We want to stay focused on Jesus. He is going to do, he has done, he's doing right now, and he will do everything that's needed to finish what he started in us. He has transformed our human flesh, enabling us to live in right relationship with God and one another. In as we trust in him, as we turn to him, and we can have comfort and peace that he's going to finish what he started. If you're having a real struggle right now, I'd say turn to Jesus one more time and trust him. He will finish what he's begun. And sometimes we just got to start over again and start over again and say, oh, this is a new day. One more day. I can do this, right? And we come again every week to the communion table, and we take the body and blood of Christ, in the sense we don't literally take his body and blood, but we take the bread and the wine or the grape juice and we say in remembrance of what he did and his life in us, and we receive it anew. We want to again acknowledge our need for Christ and our reception of all he has done for us and is doing for us. And so let's say a little prayer and then we'll take the elements together if we could. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for delighting in us and making us your very own. Thank you, Jesus, for holding us always and forever in the eternal embrace of the Trinity, for enabling us to share and participate in your life and love. Thank you, Heavenly Spirit, for making everything that is ours in Christ individually our own by faith. Thank you for enabling us to see the face of the Father in the face of the Son. As we take these elements today, Lord, I ask that you would enable us to see maybe more clearly some ways in which we need to turn away from ourselves and turn to Christ. As we pause a moment for reflection, Heavenly Spirit, I invite you to speak to us what that may be. May you, by your Spirit, grant us freedom and renewal in Christ. Break the chains that bind us to this way of being and thinking and feeling. Break the chains that you have broken the chains, Christ. That's the truth. And we claim that. And we receive it as our very own as we take these elements with gratitude and thanksgiving. Receiving your forgiveness and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, take ye, this is my body broken for you. We receive Christ's body for our body. Thank you, Jesus. Enable us, Lord, we pray, to offer our physical body up as the temple of your Spirit, to do only what you want done. As we take the wine, Jesus said, drink this. It's my blood shed for you. The life is in the blood. Christ's life for our life. We receive this. Thank you. Now may God fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so you may live lives worthy of the Lord, and you may please him in every way. May you bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. Hope to see you again soon.